Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is Najah E. Brown, your host, and we thank you for your support and participation. Hope for Today is an outreach program of Yield to the King Ministry, and our hope and prayer for our listening audience is that you hear something that is encouraging, life-altering, or prompting you to study the Word of God. We welcome your comments anytime, and you can reach us through our website at yieldtothekingministry.org. Well, welcome to today's episode entitled Enlisted Soldiers of Jesus Christ. We've got a special guest in our studio that I'm going to introduce in just a few minutes. He's very well known to the Hope for Today community, but let me read the promotional material so that we can lay a good foundation on what he is going to speak to us today about. So the short pitch for this promotional material, I very rarely read this, but I feel compelled to read it today, is as a singularly focused soldier in the army of Christ, we cannot be entangled in the affairs of this life. And then the promotional material reads, as believers, we are called to put on the complete armor of God. Why is that? Because we are in constant spiritual warfare. And while this spiritual battle is present, we are called to be steadfast and endure hardship as soldiers in the army of God. The battle is already won, and the victory is in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, and this is the New King James Version, says, you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There is no time for distractions. Jesus Christ enlisted us, so let's aim to please him. And with that, let me introduce my studio guest. Today I have Dr. Michael Lay in the house. And like I said before, he is known in the Hope for Today community. He has come online and has taught the Word of God with power and might for a couple of years now. So we have heard from him and we have learned from him many times over the years. He's a modest man and lives for the Lord. His ministry is a husband and wife team that touches many lives. Dr. Lay is a servant, teacher, preacher, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And with that, Dr. Lay, welcome to Hope for Today.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for the introduction. I want to refer you all to right into lesson. I think the promo already gave a good introduction to a lesson. So we're going to just jump right into the scriptures in the lesson on today. Our lesson today, as already indicated, comes from 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 3. Verses 3 is what I'll be reading, but the lesson comes from verses 3 and 4. And it reads like this from the King James Version, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to use for a thought or a theme, or is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You don't want to be, as already indicated, you're enlisted in an army because there's spiritual warfare that we're fighting daily. That the Ephesians, the sixth chapter, tells us we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so there's a whole enemy of satanic forces that are aimed against the saints, not the ain'ts. The ain'ts, they're not, put heavyweight efforts on. But the heavyweight effort is on the saints and saints, particularly in leadership or in ministry or Christian workers. So we don't want to be a mediocre soldier. We want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 through 8, Paul gives Timothy, his son in the ministry, about 7 or 8 charges. And the first one you see is in verse 1. It says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In that particular thought, we be strong in the grace that saved us, that made a way for us, that took us out of darkness and brought us into his wonderful light. We can be strong in that. We want to be strong in our position in Christ, especially against the enemy, because he's going to try to tell us that we're not all that strong in Jesus Christ. But we want to be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus. The next verse, Paul tells Timothy to, I'm paraphrasing, he wants him to, the truth that he's taught him, he wants him to commit those to faithful men. So we have a charge here to keep, that we have to pass on what we learn, pass on to other men and women, boys and girls that seem to be committed to the kingdom, and they're kingdom builders and kingdom servants and kingdom workers, and so we want to commit those to faithful men, women, boys and girls. That's another charge. And then the third and fourth charge, these charges that Paul gives Timothy in second chapter of 2 Timothy, verses 1 through 8, is found in verses 3 and 4, which is the focus of our lesson on today. In verse 3, Paul commends Timothy to be a soldier. And again, he commends him to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he tells him to endure hardness. If we look up the phrase and draw it out from the original language, the phrase enduring hardness, it carries the following meanings: to undergo hardness, to endure affliction, to suffer trouble. Paul here, first of all, is indicating that it's your duty as a Christian worker, as a soldier in the army of the Lord, to endure hardness. It's your duty, it's your responsibility, and you don't have to wonder if hardness or difficulty is going to come your way, because that implies that it is going to come your way, and you're supposed to endure it, not quit, not shrink up, not draw back from it, but if you will, you need to embrace it. Embrace the hardness, the difficulties, the troubles. Make a good thing out of a bad situation. That's, you know, when I was in the service, when I was in Vietnam, that's what we used to try to do, is, you know, in bad situations, which was being out in the bushes or being out in the hillside, wherever we were, we tried to be as comfortable as we could. We try to make the difficult situation, sleeping out on the ground in the rain, sleeping out on the ground with mosquitoes trying to attack you all through the night. They'd be buzzing around your head, trying to see if they could, you know, if they could get a bite in here and there. So yes. and sleeping out in the elements, and you know, we used to have, I forget what the rains are called, monsoons. Monsoons would, you know, we slept out in the monsoons, where it would rain real heavy, and we'd have to endure that, endure the heat during the day, and the heat and the difficult, maybe it'd be raining through the day, walking miles maybe in a single day. We had to endure that, and as Christians, we need to endure whatever difficulties come our way, whether they be difficulties at home or on the job or in the community or in the church house, wherever difficulties and afflictions are, we need to endure them. We need to not try to run from them, but, you know, see these difficulties through. We have to see, you know, we can't look for the easy way out as Christians. We have to look for to resolve the problem best we can in a Christ-like manner, whatever that problem is. If that problem is a mean boss, we have to endure that mean boss in order to keep our job, and also to walk upright before him as a Christian. We need to endure that mean boss. No matter what he does or says, we need to endure that situation. We don't need to quit the job or look for another job. We just need to endure that particular job. If that's a job that God has sent you to, you have to stick with that job. I think today folks will quit a job if it doesn't suit them, if the hours don't suit them, if the boss doesn't talk to them right, if the other employees don't talk to them right. They might quit the job, but that as Christians, we can't quit our job as a Christian worker or having a Christ-like testimony. We have to keep our testimony despite what the problems that exist in the job, in the community, in the church, wherever it is. Some folks, difficulties come at the church and the pastor doesn't treat them right, so they think, or other members of the church don't treat them right and they want to quit the church and go some other place where they feel like they're going to be treated right. Well, they may be able to get to another place where they treat them better, but they may not. They may, if God sent them to this particular church, you know, as a Christian worker or a preacher or a missionary, whatever your office is, you need to stick to the problem and not or not draw back from it or not try to look for an easy way out, but stick through the problem. Work through the problem. Don't let the problem work you. You or I need to work the problem. We need to endure the hardness of the whatever difficult situation it is. Maybe it's a difficult marriage, you know, that he or she is in. And we need to work through the difficulties, whatever those difficulties are. Maybe we're having communication problems. Maybe somebody's getting angry, has a short fuse or something like that, getting angry easily. We need to continue to work through the problems. We don't need to take abuse, but we need to, if it's a manageable situation, we need to manage it, not let the problem manage us. So we need to, we need to stick with that marriage to try to work it through. We don't need to be like some Christian couples do. They get a divorce because they don't have to put up with all that. Well, I want you to know, thank God, we need to put up with stuff. We need not to be such mamby-pambies that we can't put up with hardship or difficulties, because crisis, in order to be a good soldier, if you want to be a mediocre soldier or not a very good soldier, it doesn't matter to you, then you don't need to put up with stuff. You just can run out on situations. Maybe run out on that marriage, or if you have a teenager that's acting up in the home, maybe you if you don't want to put up with hardness, you might send that teenager out of the home. But that isn't going to be best for that teenager if you as a parent abandon them or send them away. It's going to be better for the home, better for that child, if we stick with that difficult teenager, the difficult problem that's facing us, whatever that might be. Maybe they're not doing their homework. Well, maybe we as a good parent or a good soldier of Jesus Christ need to try to help them through the difficulties they're having with their homework. One of my daughters was having problems just going to school, much less doing homework. And so what I did was I would try to sit down with her and work on her homework with her. I really didn't have any expertise in the homework she brought home, but it was the thing that helped her, I believe, was me just sitting down with her, taking time out of my schedule to spend time with her, just sit there with her while she works through her school problems. In some churches where there's difficulties arise, either on the with a congregation with a pastor, somebody's looking to get rid of the church pastor, or the pastor's looking to get rid of the church because they don't want to put up with any problems that exist, that they feel like the congregation is too difficult to deal with, or the parishioners feel like the pastor is too difficult to deal with. Well, I think both sides need to endure hardness and try to work through the problem with each other, whatever that problem is. It may be a difficult, more very difficult problem. Maybe maybe the pastor doesn't listen very good, or vice versa. But we need to work through the problem together. We need not to give up on folks, get rid of folks because we don't feel like they're measuring up to our expectations as a good pastor. We need to keep our eyes on ourselves as being a good soldier of Jesus Christ enlisted in his army by choice. We chose to accept being a Christian and the difficulties that might come our way. We chose that. And so if we're in the ministry too, if we're a Christian worker, a preacher, a teacher, whatever our job might be, we accepted that, we chose to take on any kind of difficulties that might arise in that particular job, whether it be teaching somebody that's not very teachable or not very trainable, or
uh-huh.
or just trying to do a good job at bringing the word to folks week in and week out, regardless of what kind of situation we're faced with. Right here, I want to make a few comments about the word good as it appears in that particular verse in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 3. This denotes to us, good denotes to us being valuable or virtuous and distinguished
uh-huh.
from. We could suggest a good soldier of Jesus Christ is valuable, virtuous, and is distinguishes himself or herself from others. That a good soldier of Jesus Christ isn't like everybody else. They separate themselves out and be the soldier that God has called them to be. They don't try to preach like Paul or teach like him either. They just try to preach and teach or be a good servant as God has called them to be. They don't try to copycat anybody. They just try to be the self that God has called them to be, to separate themselves out. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, we should suggest, excels in difficulties, in troubles, and in times of adversity. They distinguish themselves by sticking with the problem and seeing that problem through. People might pat you on the back and tell you, well, I wouldn't have put up with all that. Well, if you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you certainly would put up with all of that. That's why you should stick with that problem, so you inspire others and impress them by the way in which you handle difficulties or troubles or problems or hardships of any kind. In 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 4, Paul tells Timothy more about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In this one, he tells him, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And that, you know, that uh-huh. that means that we don't get all tangled up in the affairs of this life. Might be, for example, we don't get tangled up with you know, working for the Donald Trump campaign or the Joseph Biden campaign. We don't get all tangled up in those kinds of things. We don't get tangled up with trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, the Joneses, they got all the latest and greatest gadgets and latest and greatest electric cars and latest and greatest tattoos and latest and greatest piercings. And so being tattooed and entertaining piercings of any kind is, you know, is talked about in the Bible that we're not supposed to do that. That we find that in Leviticus, and I'm not really sure exactly what chapter and verse at this point. I know I've read that recently, that we're not supposed to get, you know, a nice little cute tattoo on the back of our back or on the back of our leg or something like that, or get all these piercings. But all these kind of things that we might do now, we might not like it so well down the road if we have some tattoos from our shoulder to our wrist on one arm and halfway down the other. We might not, you know, those things might not look so good in 10 years. That's because we've been trying to keep up with the Joneses. We've been trying to follow various trends. It's very trendy to get tattoos these days. It's very trendy to get piercings these days. And the piercings, they may not be all that comfortable, but we got them so we could be in style. And as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we don't need to be in style. I'm not saying we need to look bad or dress bad or anything like that, but we don't need to make sure we got all the latest and greatest trends in terms of our appearance. You know, it's okay to not have a nice suit or a nice dress or whatever, but we don't have to have a high end suit to be, to be dressed nice. We don't have to have a high end evening gown to be nice dressed. You know, maybe with one from a slit that's all the way from our knees to all the way up to our waist. We don't need to have a dress like that. As a Christian soldier, we don't need to dress in a way that's not appropriate to wear that kind of a dress to school, to work, to church. Maybe not, probably not anywhere. A good soldier of Jesus Christ, as you note that Paul uses the illustration as a good soldier. A soldier is disciplined, and so it would probably be implied that a good soldier of Jesus Christ is disciplined. They're disciplined in their dress and in their appearance, and they're disciplined in their church attendance. They don't, in terms of their church attendance, they don't hit one and miss 10 and come back who knows when. They're faithful week in and week out, especially if they have a particular job in the church that causes them to be there each Sunday. Maybe they're part of the altar team that's on duty every Sunday, or maybe they're an usher that they have to be there every Sunday or certain Sundays. That we need to be faithful in our service to the Lord. We need to be so faithful in our service to the Lord that other people are inspired by our faithful service. And you can't be called a faithful Christian if you're not faithful. That's how you win that, is by being faithful. And that is wrapped up in being disciplined. I'm disciplined to be at the church house on this particular day and serve in this particular capacity. So as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need to be disciplined. And we need to stay in the church that God has sent us to, not look for a way out. And we don't need to, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we don't need to say all the, in terms of ministry, we don't need to say all the latest and greatest buzzwords or terms. For example, we don't need to worry about getting to the next level or somebody else getting to the next level or next dimension. Maybe 30 years ago, those words weren't around, and people were able to express themselves without using those terms. And maybe without using those terms, they may have said about being more mature in the Lord, about growing in the Lord and getting to new places in the Lord that we hadn't been before. They would explain things out more. Now we just throw those terms out and leave it up to the congregation or our class or whomsoever we're talking to determine what the meaning of that is. And so we don't need to use all those latest buzzwords, because they may not communicate clearly what we're trying to communicate. And so we need to, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we need to be good communicators and not people to understand what a particular scripture means, and help them to understand about being baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was at one church and somebody was, I don't know, they were moving all kinds of different ways. And somebody went over there to pray with them. And I asked them, I asked them if they led them to Christ. They said, no, God is doing something with them. And so, And so I went over there and told them, you need to lead them to Christ. And so because they weren't, they just said, God is doing something with them. That's kind of a general thing. God's doing
uh-huh.
something with every one of us. And some of us, what he's trying to do is get some of us saved. And if you look up salvation, if you look up one definition of salvation in the Old Testament, it might denote to us being rescued.
So
God may be trying to rescue somebody from sin and the penalties uh-huh. thereof that result from sin. If you have a sinful lifestyle, you're going to suffer the wrath of God, which as I understand, is going to be a place that you're going to go to a place where there's gnashing of teeth, and where it's hot, and it never gets cool, and there's no breaks from that place that you might go to. So you want to go to a place where it's pleasant, and where the streets are paved with gold, and there's different gates that come into the city. And somebody said, well, I want to come in the front gate. I don't care what gate I come in as long as I get into the city. And uh-huh. that's that sanctified city that we're, all of us are trying to go to, where Abraham was going to. The Bible tells us Abraham was going to a city whose builder and maker was God. I'm paraphrasing.
Uh-huh.
So in conclusion to our lesson today, a good soldier of Jesus Christ endures hardness, and he's separated. That means he's separated from the world and dedicated unto God. And he or she is disciplined. You know, they do come to church on time. They do make appointments on time. They're not like some folks that they say they're saved and sanctified, but they're undisciplined. They come to church when they feel like it. They come to church meetings when they feel like it. They make appointments when they feel like it. Of course, uh-huh. they always have an excuse why they're late. But how are they always late and you are always on time? Because the person that's always late is undisciplined, and the person that's always on time is disciplined. They're concerned about time, about meeting their obligations and being where God would have them to be. So that's all I have for today about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow, Dr. Lay, that was wonderful. Boy, you unpacked a whole lot in this topic, a whole lot. And another topic, another podcast for another day could be the casual Christian versus the disciplined Christian, right?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So what I want to do, though, is I want to go back and capture that passage in Leviticus that you were referring to. It's Leviticus 19:28, and this is the New King James Version. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. So that's the passage that I think you were referring to in terms of the tattoos. Yeah. Leviticus 19:28. And then, this is great. This is good. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're breaking up a little bit, but go ahead.
Okay. Can I say what the problem is with the tattooing and the cutting? All that is self-mutilation, and that was a heathen practice. So that's why that injunction is given, is to come away from those heathen practices, not practice those heathen practices, not practice uh-huh. those ungodly practices. And so that's why that's there. And so anybody on the podcast that has tattoos or piercings, you don't have to necessarily get, you probably need to get rid of your piercings, but your tattoos, you don't necessarily have to get rid of those. But now that you know that you shouldn't be doing that stuff, that you just turn right and go straight, that means you just continue doing those things and just go the way God would have you.
I think one way that people can address tattoos and the piercings is ask themselves why. what are we doing this for? What am I doing this for? Because you mentioned about just getting all caught up in the trends and how that is not going to work. Let me say this. I love the way you made the contrast and comparison between a Vietnam soldier, your personal experience, and the soldier of the Lord. I just love the way that you presented that when a soldier who enlists, right, whether they're drafted or not, I think there was the draft was in force during the Vietnam War. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay, and then we haven't had a draft since then. Is that correct?
We had a draft past the Vietnam War, but it just continued after, sometime after that, though.
Okay.
Because there was no soldiers.
Okay. So when you voluntarily enlist, it's different. But when you're drafted, I mean, you're serving because you have to serve, right? But I think anyone who puts themselves in a position to serve has already made some sort of decision. I love the contrast because we Christ has enlisted us. And so we're soldiers in the army. And you just spelled out that there's going to be hardship. So I loved your stories about being in the trenches and the mosquitoes and the weather and all those sorts of things. So our hardship is going to cause us to have to really, really focus and ask ourselves, what is it that we are doing, supposed to be doing, and then focus on that. And you started out by saying when you read 2 Timothy, you started with chapter 2, and I think it was verse 1, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Be strong and in the grace. Be strong in the grace. And you know what passage came to mind for me? 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 and 10, New King James Version reads, and he said to me, you know, Paul is just begging and just beseeching the Lord to remove the thorns from his side, and his response was, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ rests upon me. Verse 10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and need and persecutions and distresses, plural, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I just, you know, that passage came to mind because God's grace is sufficient and we are going to endure hardship. And scripture says that when we, to count it all joy, my brethren, when we encounter various trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. And you use the word endure so many times throughout your teaching that it just brings it home that Psalm 30 and 5 says weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So that endurance and then the whole discipline thing. You know, could you touch on a little bit more how it shows up? I know practically how it shows up because I think we're experiencing it at my home congregation. When leaders are under attack, how does that show up? Can you share with us what your experience has been?
What kind of hardness or difficulties might they be having?
Yes. How does it show up?
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes, like this one, when I was in the Army Reserve, I had a chaplain who helped build up the church that he was, you know, where he was pastoring, and then they decided after he'd done all this work that he was not doing a good job. So, you know, they gave him a bad grade, if you will, you know, for he's not being effective anymore. And then they discontinued his contract. So they fired him, you might say. So that might be one difficulty a pastor might have. Or they might, you know, a pastor might have, or a church leader might have the difficulty of somebody spreading slander about them, in the sense that they might tell all kinds of lies or just tell half truths about them that make them look bad in the public eye or in the congregational eye, and so that might be some difficulties they have, or they might have people that are in the congregation or in a class that aren't really teachable,
Like this, this one. I think when you're teaching a class, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've experienced this a couple times where people go and break out in an anger kind of tangent where they're, you know, where they're raise their voice and talking to me angrily, trying to make their point, whatever that point was. Like for example, one time I was teaching a class and a first year student, the first year somebody is a novice at best, and they were telling me how to interpret a word, you know, that they were, which was, you know, was an improper interpretation, way to interpret a word in terms of in the Bible. That you know, at that time I had a doctor's degree and I had been trained in how to you know, look up a word and how to interpret a word. And you know, you can't, you know, when you interpret a word, you have to let people, what, for example, what two am I talking about? Am I talking about T-O or T-O-O or T-W-O?
Uh-huh.
So you have to bring out the meaning and the context to them about them. And this person was changing the context of the word, making it plural, which it wasn't a plural in the Bible. So why would it be a plural in the, as you look it up, as you interpret it? But they raised their voice and they were yelling at me and so on. And I had another person, the person in another class was yelling too about speaking in tongues. And I don't think they had been trained in all that, but they just, from their studies, they felt like they had gained enough knowledge that they had gained enough knowledge that they could yell at me and dispute what I was saying. And so, you know, if you gain that much knowledge, you probably need to go back to the mourner's bench to get, you know, to repent. Repent of your sin. So those are kind of some kind of difficulties, you know, you might have as a teacher and a preacher by way of teaching people that they may rail on you, so to speak, because they're, you know, because they don't care about what you're teaching, or do you think what you're teaching is improper, or what you're teaching is exposing them in their sin. So those are some difficult things leaders might have, and then they might also have trouble with various board members not trying to cooperate with them just because they want to run the church. The board member wants to run the church instead of letting the pastor run the church. And so they might be uncooperative and rebellious against the sound doctrine that the pastor is laying down in terms of the direction of the church. These may be some of the difficulties that church leaders might have.
That's good. So I think that I'm on the prayer circle. I run the altar ministry, prayer ministry at my church, and we have a Zoom church, prayer service, or session, I should say, on Sunday evenings, 6 p.m. And we pray over the list of people who have asked for prayer, or others have put them on the list for us to pray for them or with them or whatever. And then just, we have prayer points for our particular congregation, just various things that all congregations are dealing with, you know. And we realized that we were praying more and more for our leaders who run or overseers of certain ministries, health issues just had 4 and 5 and 6 people out, you know, injuries, just different things. And so we there was about 3 of us who said, our ministries are under attack, right? So
amen.
I like that you brought in another perspective too, because, you know, the enemy would love us to stop or slow down, but you know, God has a purpose and a plan for all of us, and His work will be fulfilled, and we aim to carry it on and pray about it and rebuke that kind of spirit.
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Lay,
we know sickness and disease isn't of the Lord; it's from the, you know, that other camp.
from that demonic camp. So sickness and disease is not of the Lord. And we need to know that.
Yes.
And he wants us to be healed. And he certainly wants his leaders to be healed. And you know, if you have a cold that's debilitating, or any kind of, if you have cancer or whatever it might be that's debilitating, that would keep you from being your job in terms of the ministry as best possible. That's not of the Lord. That's of that other guy, you know, because he's trying to defeat God's people.
Yes,
but as you
and discourage
you,
and
you
discourage us, and
yes, exactly.
That's why we are told to be strong and do not be dismayed and be encouraged, you know, because the enemy would, you know, you have to silence the voice of the enemy, because he'll tell you just the opposite of what God has said and what is true. So,
amen.
That's good. Well, I want to throw a passage in. I think I'm going to make time to read this. Now, we referenced it in the promotional material. And we talk about armor, the full armor of God. We've talked about being a soldier, an enlisted soldier. I just want to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. This is the New King James Version. Finally, my brother, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we have this full armor. We've been given this full armor, and it's on. Once it's on, we can't take it off. Now, we may not know how to walk in that gift or that spiritual blessing, but it's on. I mean, we as a believer, we are clothed in Christ's righteousness, and because he enlisted us in the army, you know, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We don't have to do any of this in our own strength. So that's where we get it twisted. We think that we have to be overcomers in our own strength. No, we've been delivered. We've been equipped. We've been trained. And what we do is in his strength and in his power, not our own. And that's a reminder, because the life happens and life can be discouraging if we're not careful.
Yeah, but we need to push through those life happenings. You know, I was going to make this point about being sick, you know, having some kind of sickness is a hardness. It's, you know, I had a stroke about a year and a half ago. It's a hardness getting over that stroke, pushing through all that.
Uh-huh.
It's a hardness.
Yes.
It's a hardness if you have COVID. If you have COVID, it's difficult. And so we have to push. That's part of the you know, kind of the hardness or difficulty that we need to push through. You know, we need to push through all types of difficulties and problems to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because as you indicated, life does happen, and sickness and disease is still part of our human experience. And praise God that God is a healer. And God is a restorer, and he rescued us from the consequences of sin, and he's making a way for us to spend eternity with him.
Yes.
With him.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
So we need to push through all that, because we need to get to that city that Abraham talked about, that he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God.
Amen. Well, Dr. Lay, our little short 45 minutes went by quickly, didn't it?
It did go by quickly.
I am I am so thankful that you came on and are as a studio guest. So we're gonna wrap it up, and I just want to say in conclusion, we are soldiers in the army of God. We must be disciplined, yeah, diligent, and watchful. Yeah, yeah, the spiritual warfare is raging, and life happens, but we must remain steadfast and press on. And once our, yeah, armor is on, it's on. We can't take it off. So let's walk in boldness and confidence in Christ Jesus, because he has,
amen,
paid the price. And with that, may God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks. God bless you. Dr. Lay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Do you want to say anything?
No, just it was a blessing being able to be on this podcast and share these things with the listening audience that's out there. And hopefully these things something I said today was helpful to them in their Christian walk, that it,
yeah,
encouraged them and enabled them to be more effective.
Amen.
That's
amen.
All.
I trust that that's already done. All right. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you.
God bless you.